This month in Bloomberg Markets Magazine, The Double Life of Rajat Gupta, our exclusive look at how the head of one of the world's most powerful consulting firms deceived his colleagues and his friends in a scheme to enrich himself. I'm Ron Henkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets. Also in this month's issue, how hedge funds based in Brazil are among the world's top performers, and how a woman named Helena Morrissey is shaking up the old boys club in Britain. She's the chief executive officer of a major British asset management company and the mother of nine children. You'll also find our ranking of the compensation of the top CEOs of U.S. financial companies, showing which ones delivered the best and which ones delivered the worst value for their shareholders. These stories and more are in the August 2011 issue of Bloomberg Markets. Now to our cover story, The Double Life of Rajat Gupta. Joining me on the line this morning are the three authors of that story, John Hellyar, Carol Heimowitz, and Mehul Srivastava. Before we talk to the reporters, let me give you a little background on Rajat Gupta. He rose from modest circumstances in India to become managing partner of New York-based McKinsey & Co., the prestigious global consulting firm. He held that position for 9 years before retiring. Rajat Gupta is smart, rich, and powerful, so his friends and colleagues were stunned when the Securities and Exchange Commission filed an administrative action against Gupta, accusing him of passing confidential information to hedge fund billionaire Raj Rajaratnam. Rajaratnam was convicted in May of 14 counts of conspiracy and securities fraud as part of a major insider trading investigation that is rocking Wall Street. Gupta denies the SEC's allegations. John, let's start with you. Our reporting shows that there is a lot more to the Rajat Gupta story than the SEC allegations about his connections to Rajaratnam. While Gupta was leading McKinsey, we reported, he was doing something that his colleagues didn't know about, something that violated the firm's own rules. Tell us about that.
Well, the firm rule, which you can totally understand, is that McKinsey partners can't do consulting gigs on the side, and we uncovered a couple of cases where Rajat Gupta was kind of operating on his own. One was being advisory director of a company called Genpact, for which he was paid in stock options in that company, which eventually went public, and those really had some value. The other was consulting that he did with a company called Info Group, an Omaha, Nebraska database company led by somebody that he knew from the American India Foundation named Vinod Gupta. That was also something that that he was doing for a number of years that the that McKinsey did not know about.
So here's a man who's running one of the most powerful consulting firms in the world, one that's known for secrecy and, in fact, for keeping secrets, so much so that it doesn't even divulge the name of its clients. And it turns out he was keeping secrets from his own colleagues and doing something on the side. What do we know about why that was going on?
It's very difficult to say why it was going on, but he did actually, in effect, set up the side consulting firm called Mind Spirit in secrecy by putting it in the names of his wife and that of Anil Kumar, another McKinsey consultant who also figures into the Rajaratnam / Galleon scandal. It was in their name, but it was set up so that they could do consulting like that done for Info Group. They were paid in stock options, Info Group stock options, on which we weren't able to tell how much they made, but the options were exercised, and we. But it's hard to say why somebody with that kind of income from McKinsey, knowing full well the rules and being in the position of a leader, would do that.
And you mentioned Anil Kumar, a McKinsey partner that, as you said, they were doing business, and it turns out in the names of their wives. What is Anil Kumar's role in the Rajaratnam case?
Anil Kumar has pled guilty to being one of Rajaratnam's informants. He was feeding him information over a period of years, inside information on McKinsey clients, and for more than $2 million in compensation under the table from Rajaratnam, and he testified against Rajaratnam at the Rajaratnam's insider trading trial. Now he's awaiting sentencing for his own guilty plea.
Thanks, John. Now, Carol, let's turn to you and let's talk a little bit about Gupta's lifestyle. He was well connected. He was affluent. He spent time with a lot of famous people. And I'd like to get a sense of that and also a sense of what our reporting shows of why, in spite of all the money and the fame and the connections he had, he wanted even more money. But I want to ask you to start out by describing the opening scene of our cover story. It's a party at Gupta's home that involves a very unusual guest, an elephant.
Yes. The party was given when Gupta was stepping down as managing director of McKinsey after 9 years, the longest amount of time one can be managing director. It was in 2003.
Right, 2003.
He'd been director since 1994, and his partners wanted to celebrate his nine-year directorship, and they brought along an elephant as a surprise. A bit of a joke, but a lot of people took rides on the elephant, and the party was given at Gupta's large home in Westport, Connecticut, his waterfront home there. He had other homes in Florida and an apartment in New York, and he lived quite well.
And Gupta was on some prominent boards of directors of some big-name companies. Which were those?
He was a director at Goldman Sachs, Procter & Gamble, AMR Corp, which is the parent of American Airlines. Those were three of the top ones. But he was on the Genpact board, the company that John mentioned. He also served as a consultant on many boards. The three big ones were Goldman, P&G, and AMR. And he also was very active in influential nonprofit circles. He was an advisor at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He did a lot of work with Kofi Annan at the UN. Extremely well connected, friends with Bill Clinton. Knew many, many people whose names come up often.
Okay, so Carol, what do we know about Gupta's connection to Rajaratnam, the convicted hedge fund manager? What does the SEC allege that Gupta did? And we should point out that this is a civil suit against Gupta, and it's not a criminal prosecution.
Well, the suit alleges that Gupta fed Rajaratnam information that he learned as a director at Goldman Sachs and Procter & Gamble, information that was market-moving, that he called Rajaratnam minutes, in cases seconds, after board meetings at which he had learned what earnings were going to be, at which he had learned that Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway was going to make an investment in Goldman Sachs, at which he had learned that Procter & Gamble was going to miss earnings. And Rajaratnam then traded on that information, the suit alleges.
And there were some wiretapped evidence that's been presented at the trial of Rajaratnam and also referred to in the civil complaint against Gupta. Given that this is a civil complaint, what kind of sanctions could be applied? What's the most that could happen to Gupta?
He could face a fine and be barred from serving on any public company boards in the future. And he has resigned from all boards that he's been on, including the nonprofit boards.
Thanks, Carol. Now, Mehul, let's turn to you and talk about Gupta's background in India. It's a really fascinating story, starting with his childhood. I believe he became an orphan at the age of 18. And then I'd like you to take us through to talk about his continuing connections to India, including some of the people he's associated with, which our reporting shows have had their own run-ins with authorities. So let's start with his background in India.
In India, Rajat Gupta is seen very much as the ultimate rags-to-riches story. He was orphaned at a very young age, but was from a pretty middle-class family. He went to an elite engineering school, then he went to Harvard, and then he landed a job at McKinsey. And as he became the managing partner of McKinsey, he became incredibly famous in India as an expat, as an Indian who's gone overseas and achieved success in the American corporate world, one of the biggest consulting companies in the world. He'd come back regularly over here, was very close with the political parties here. Prime Minister Singh had him on a committee for health and malaria prevention. He set up a business school in Hyderabad in 2000 called the Indian School of Business. And the board of that school was pretty much the who's who of the international business world. I mean, you had Michael Dell, you had Lloyd Blankfein, you had Indian business leaders like Anil Ambani and Ratan Tata on it. It was he was very much seen as the ultimate success in the American corporate world out of here from India.
At some point, he started a private equity firm with some investors from India, including Rajaratnam, who's not from India, is from Sri Lanka, I should point out, but from that part of the world. And a couple of the people he was involved with had some run-ins with the SEC on their own. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is interesting. After he left McKinsey, he started this private equity fund called New Silk Route. Initially, the idea was that it would be a private equity and hedge fund. And Raj Rajaratnam, who's now waiting to be sentenced in the Galleon trial, he was going to put in some money and provide expertise and analysts, et cetera, there. It eventually became just a private equity fund. Rajaratnam wasn't involved with that. But the other partners he picked were people who didn't have fantastically clean backgrounds. He picked a guy called Parag Saxena and another person called Victor Meneses, both of whom had run-ins with the SEC. Saxena had paid a fine in 1994 to settle civil claims over pre-IPO stock while he was recommending the same shares to his clients at Chancellor Capital. Victor Meneses, who had made it really high up at Citigroup, he was a senior vice chairman, had paid $2.7 million in a fine over an insider trading possibility that he had sold stock before a bad announcement. In spite of these backgrounds, he ended up going into business with these people. And in 2006, in January, was when Victor Meneses paid the fine, and by October or December, New Silk Route was set up. It almost seemed as if, while he was aware of it, it didn't stop him from starting up his latest big venture with people with tainted background.
And you spoke to a business school professor who's known Gupta for a long time, who gave you a very intriguing quote. What did he say about the people that Gupta was associating with?
It's a fantastic quote, and this is Bala Balachandran. And he says, he remembers telling Rajat Gupta, "You're an eagle. Why do you want to be with these chickens who can't fly? You'll get the chicken flu." It underlines the biggest question about Rajat Gupta, which no amount of reporting seems to be able to answer, which is that why somebody who was so successful was mixing with people who were clearly below his success range and were eventually would end up tainting his reputation also by association.
Well, thanks, Mehul, and thanks, John and Carol. It's a fascinating story about Rajat Gupta. I'm Ron Hinkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets Magazine. I've been speaking with John Hellyer, Carol Heimowitz, and Mehul Srivastava about their cover story in the August issue of Bloomberg Markets, The Double Life of Rajat Gupta. Also in our August issue, you'll find our stories on Brazil's world-beating hedge funds and on the female CEO who is shaking up the old boys' club in the U.K., You also find our ranking of the highest paid CEOs in finance, showing who delivered the best and who delivered the worst value for shareholders. You can buy Bloomberg Markets at Barnes & Noble bookstores in the U.S. and at selected newsstands around the world. To subscribe to Bloomberg Markets, go to BloombergMarkets.com. To subscribe to our digital edition, go to Zinio.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Ron Hinkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2011.